This party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
The monster coming along.
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generator engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes. Yes.
It's time for the
Jimmy Doan Show.
My God.
We're back.
It's been a million trillion.
May 9th, 2008.
It's been about a month, hasn't it?
It's Jimmy.
Well, I noticed that the number of people have dropped off. Of course, we're coming to the site, which is
They've been increased recently. Going, where the heck are you guys?
Well, you know, it's funny because most of them are from. Other than we got one phone call from Bart.
Bart the man.
Save the phone.
Bart, well, people don't realize, so we got one phone call from Bart and said, save the phone. Thank you, Bart.
Jimmy.
Our entire Myanmar studios was washed away in a cyclone.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
So.
I have noticed some of the keywords we've been getting in on. Topless girls with super big boobs is one.
Yeah.
Addresses prostitutes in Pakistan.
Yeah. What up?
Throwing a car, TROWING. Girl kangaroo sex was one.
We are sitting against people from Australia.
Maybe, possibly, yeah.
Estonia, India, Germany, France. Look at this. My God. Brazil, Italy.
It's got 11.
Here's what I like. Firefighting galaxy piss. That was excellent. Geological errors in the movie The Core. Hot mom and elderly having hot sex.
How do we come up on that stuff?
I don't know. But
Portugal,
it shows up.
Hey, we got a new listener in the Netherlands.
South Africa.
Woo! Something got turned on. Thorn. Yep. Hey!
Yeah, he wanted piss sex.
Smoke up, Thorn!
but I love this. This is what I love. Some guy in Pakistan looks for addresses of prostitutes in Pakistan. And when it comes to our site.
Right.
We wish we knew.
What do you mean?
No. Deny. We did not receive any communication from Pakistan or anywhere in the Middle East.
That's right. What the big news, of course, today is that it looks like Jimmy might have been wrong.
What?
Now, this is absolutely astounding here.
No, it's unbelievable because Jimmy was convinced. It's still actually there's still a chance about Hillary.
Oh,
you know, he's the one guy. Jimmy's the one guy out there saying Hill's going to pull out all the stops.
Wow, Jimmy's going to win the thing.
But as of today is just kicking
into this thing right
today
away.
Today is 2 days before Mother's Day. Today's the 9th. Mother's Day is the 11th.
That's right.
And Jimmy has long claimed been on an island unto himself, saying that Hillary's going to pull out the knives and win the nomination.
Right.
And today, Obama got eight of the superdelegates.
Yeah, what's a superdelegate? That's like a.
Well, here's the deal. This is a classic case.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's what a superdelegate is.
I don't think so. The deal was years ago that Democrats decided.
They needed better than regular delegates?
The regular delegates didn't know shit. So they had what they called superdelegates that are not elected by anybody. They're selected by, a secret... that's right. And so these guys are not beholden to anybody. There are no votes taken, and there's like hundreds of them. And what these guys get to do is go to the convention, and the convention is like 2,000 or 3,000 people, and there's like 10 or 20% of them that are these superdelegates that are not from Indiana or any of those other states that have the primaries
they're
or anything
from
like that. They're not selected.
And Tatooine,
right? Exactly. They're from
Alderaan,
the Hoth world,
right?
And so the idea was that since the voters don't know crap, that the superdelegates could override the voters and say, "Look, we don't, you know, we know you voters
we'll
have selected so and so, but the real winner is going to be thus and so." Well. Now it's backfiring.
That's
totally backfiring. And the
Jimmy is fired up tonight. You are getting right into this. No list, no introductions, nothing. He's pissed off about Hillary and Obama.
Because it's conceivable. It's conceivable that Jimmy is being held in error. And this is not
it's
a good thing.
He has to, he's strongholding his vindication of...
It ain't over till it's over.
I agree with you. I'm telling you right now,
a lot can happen. As you know, as we have said so many times, a 20-second scream can put you from the top to the bottom.
Right.
And,
do we have that one?
And Howard Dean knows this. So... That's right. We're going to whatever, you know. And totally, so it's not out of the question. There's still time before the convention.
Hillary will probably give him a robotic podium that squeezes his balls and makes him scream.
What I like that thing that you sent me.
These balls ain't going to lick themselves,
these balls
ain't going to
lick themselves, lady. Okay.
A little inside joke there.
Yeah, no.
We'll put a link to it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, thanks, Jack. Jack Rhodes is here, as usual. And
he's a link master.
Unfortunately, the buzz is wearing off, so we might not hear so much.
Hurry up. We started really late.
He didn't bring his extra super long
marathon. The marathon puff was not taken.
I only took one hit of LSD tonight. Right. I didn't take two because I didn't know we were going to be starting so late.
So that was Counselor Curtis's problem. He got stuck in traffic.
What, the LSD?
Yeah, right. So there are...
The colors, man.
Trafficking.
He's trafficking on the way up here, that's right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So the other question, he's talking about laws, is the question is, did the D.C. madam commit suicide?
Wait a second, are you done with Obama there?
No, not at all.
This is the list.
Part of the list.
Oh, I see.
We stopped doing the list, man.
Let's bore people, man.
Yeah, I know.
No, let's talk about this Obama thing, because like Jimmy said, in case you're tuning in late, Jimmy was wrong.
Well, no, not yet. Jimmy, it ain't over till it's over. I'm telling you. No, Jimmy.
Jimmy is going to hang tough.
Jimmy is still going to say until it's over. Jimmy's going to say Hillary's going to be the nominee.
He's sticking with his team, man.
Hillary's going to be the nominee. I heard where Ann Coulter. She's giving up the ghost.
If you're just going to say that, there's no way. How is it going to happen? Against the will of the people. How are you going to argue that one?
The Democrats have always felt that the people suck, and so they, you know, against the will of the people is nothing new for those guys. So big deal.
If the superdelegates all got behind her, she'd take it.
Right.
Also, if they could somehow
it's still mathematically possible.
That was a good out of context.
Well, she's got to win like 75% of what's left.
As far as the committed delegates are concerned.
Right.
And then there's about 100 or 150 superdelegates that have, quote, not committed yet. But, you know,
because Obama got eight or nine today.
Right. I know that. So, that's changed. It could be a landslide. It could be, right now it could be rocks falling off a cliff. Everybody decided to go with the winner on this one.
Well, they're both trying to not cause any waves. But like you said, so something's going to happen.
Well, the deal is, as you well know, for our international listeners.
They're waiting for the slip.
Pardon?
The superdelegates and everybody else are waiting for somebody to slip.
Right.
And then they can all vindicatively on their own side choose the other one.
I like that, vindicatively.
Well, I tell you what I think they're waiting for is to make the deal at the end. See, the holdouts will have a lot of power.
Isn't that the truth? It's like one of those things here when Jimmy does the, you know, coming up on the football season, when Jimmy has parking on his front lawn, I always put the amount of money I charge like $5 or $10 more than my neighbors because they all fill up. But then at the end, people are desperate. And they'll pay that money. And so I mean, it's the same thing with the superdelegates. At the end, when they really need that last one, that's going to be, you know, we will give you the presidency of, you know, Mugabe Desert something, whatever. I don't know.
Ambassadorship.
You know, ambassadorship, right, exactly. Exactly. Right. You know, the ambassador to be ambassador to some country that is not against us.
Bill Clinton will give you his phone book of escorts.
Exactly. Boom. Boy, I'm in on that one.
I think I'd hold out for the blowjob from Hillary.
Oh, God, that's okay, so
that's
nasty.
It. Explicit, hey, edit, edit.
I'm going to edit that out.
I don't know. I'm not sure that'd be a toothsome thing.
You know, always causing controversy here on the Jack Rhodes Show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what I'm here for, you know. Come on. So
what was Ann Coulter's deal, would you say?
She's a little disappointed now. She's given up the ghost. She said that if she was going to basically campaign for Hillary, mm-hmm. if McCain was the nominee.
Not going to vote for McCain.
And,
now
she's saying that, you know, what's going to happen? She can't very well campaign for Obama. I mean, you know, it's all going to be. And I'll tell you, this is the same thing that happened. This is the same thing that happened in 1992.
Well, because. Never mind.
The same thing that happened in 1992. Let me tell you, and this is why I've said this so many times before. If Obama or if any of those commie socialists, whatever it is, if they get in, if they're the president, there's going to be a tremendous reaction 2 years down the pike. It'll be the same thing that happened in 1994 when the Republicans, Newt Gingrich and his crowd came in and they took over the Congress. And that's when we had the balanced budget, the whole nine yards. And it was a reaction to the Clintonistas from 92 to 94. They ruled, they screwed up, and the whole deal. And so that it could very well happen again. And the simple fact is that Reagan sweeping in was a reaction against Jimmy Carter. I mean, this is what happens. There are these giant swings that that occur in the United States. It can happen again. The problem, of course, is that it ratchets towards towards socialism. It is two steps towards socialism, one step back. So we're doomed. I was at a meeting last night with one of our soon to be guys going to run for the.
Oh yeah, we're going to get into that later, but.
Oh, I'm sorry, not now. Okay, what's next? So what's
I'm
next?
I'm not going to say his name.
I'm sorry. What's
Lloyd
next?
Bailey?
Lloyd Bailey, right?
But we'll talk about it in a minute here.
I didn't get those sound clips from you.
A little preview.
Well, I didn't send them to you. Oh. That's why you didn't get them.
That makes sense. Well,
that would be why.
No, I take.
So there's just no way. We can wrap this up, but there's just no way that Hillary can really win.
I'll tell you one thing without
a riot.
People haven't thought about is that if she gets all her ducks in a row and figures out that she could win Florida and Michigan, and then somehow persuade them to reinstate Florida and Michigan in such a way.
They're doing that May 31st is her deadline for that.
Is that right?
That's when they're having the committee. Meeting on the.
It does look pretty grim for her. I will say that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But again, like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, who cares? I think it would have been.
Well, it's just going to be
a hoot. You know, country's going down the toilet, and she's going to help. So that's fine. God love.
Perfect.
How do you become a superdelegate? Is there any?
No, I don't know. I think the superdelegates are. It's an insider deal. It turns out that if you are
a Mason.
No. It has to be like if you're the senior senator from your state. The junior or something, if you're head of some committee in Congress.
Well, they
most of the superdelegates are from Congress.
Okay.
And, of course, they are, as you know, the delegates. I mean, counselor here, weren't you a delegate for the Libertarian thing?
No, I'm Could actually hoping to be. I'm still waiting approval. I may be this time.
Okay. So the point is that generally speaking, the delegates to these conventions are total unknowns. So the superdelegates are the people that are, and now the Republicans don't have this. The Republicans, all the delegates in the Republican convention are, quote, elected. That is to say they are, and it's the same thing with the Electoral College, for instance. People don't know, when you vote for president of the United States, you're not actually voting for president. You vote for these guys to go to Washington, D.C. and sit around, and they're the ones, if you read the Constitution, the Electoral College is the one that actually selects the president. And it turns out that, surprise, surprise, not so surprisingly, the popular vote could be, you know, 100-1 for one particular president, and the Electoral College could say, no, we don't want that guy, and could vote somebody else. And it has happened in the early days of the Republic. It did happen once or twice where the people in the Electoral College, the delegates, whatever you want to call it, they were selected to choose who might be president, and
Al Gore.
Well, yeah, okay. So, but that's the way it's done. Same thing with the delegates. You don't know who the delegates are, but when you voted actually here in Florida, for instance, well, of course, we're not going anywhere, but in another state, if you voted for either Hillary or Obama, you didn't actually vote for them. You voted for their delegates to go to the convention, and you probably don't even know who they are, and that's fine, you know. But that's the way
they
it works.
Generally,
and
vote
they are, and 99.9% of the time, they're going to go and they're going to vote for the person that you voted for. But there is no law that says they have to. They could just as easily. They would be probably, you know, shot on sight. You know, mobbed, rioted, buried, whatever it is. But the point is, legally, they can get away with it.
They'll make it legal.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so the deal is, it does appear as of May 9th, 2008, that Obama's going to be the guy. I'm still holding out for Hillary. Okay, just going to just as the this is like the horse race. You
just
know,
remember, just
1,001 shot.
Obama.
Oh,
remember this. Just to clarify, this is not who we're supporting. This is just who we want.
Oh,
to,
yeah, like anybody listens to this thing knows.
Well, hey, let me ask you this: who's going to win between the Democratic and the Republican candidate?
McCain's going to win.
I think so.
And that's too bad because he's a charlatan too. I mean, McCain is the guy who's just paying for McCain-Feingold, for God's sakes. You know, talk about lack of. I mean, here's it says Congress shall make no law. You know, what is it about no law restricting the you know, bridging free speech, and here's McCain-Feingold says, "Oh, I'm sorry, no, we're gonna modify that."
He's not a lawyer.
I don't care. They pass laws.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
It's certainly better than the alternative. So
his wife.
There's really no argument.
Oh no. As I said before, no, that's the problem. That's the deal. The problem is if McCain gets in, we might limp along towards socialism, whereas if Obama gets in, there'll be a reaction, and we'll step back from socialism.
Oh, shit.
That's my contention. Same thing that happened in 1994, 1995.
It'll save us a ratchet.
It'll save us one ratchet. That's right, one ratchet move.
I think she'd pull us further in the socialist direction.
I know she would, but you'd have to understand the reaction would be severe.
Well, it may be severe, but I don't think it'd be as...
You don't think it would be as much as the 94 takeover, Republican takeover of Congress? Of course, see, we don't have another Newt. Newt was, you know, he was a catalyst. He unfortunately was, you know, got a little too full of himself. If he'd calmed down a little bit, he probably could have preserved that a little longer. But he, you know, he got to be a hero and he started to believe his own press clippings. And that was the problem. So, and that's what always happens with these guys. They always get corrupted. So can we go now to the Lloyd Bailey thing?
Oh, yeah, let's get into it.
I was over last night. Lloyd Bailey, local guy here, is going to run. He's a member of the John Birch Society, and of course, he's going to be pilloried with that. People who probably don't know, John Birch Society years ago was a lightning rod for the super, super conservative, patriotic Americans, and they've, I mean, really the jingoistic types. And they got tarred with a lot of the people that didn't like how patriotic they were, if you want to call it that. I mean, these people were my country, right or wrong. Doesn't matter what it's, you know, whatever America does is 100% correct. It doesn't matter who dies in the meantime. If you're for America, you're for whatever America does, yada, yada, yada. And they got they got tarred with this. Anybody that was a member of the John Birch Society. It turned out it was a pejorative for many years. Now, so if you...
What was the stigma? I'm sorry, back what?
The stigma was they were too conservative.
Too conservative.
They were David Duke conservative. So, they were, you know...
Anti-black.
Well, not so much. I don't know about anti-black.
White American kind of thing.
Well, and they weren't so much political, but it was one of these things, you know, they were the impeacher or Warren crowd, which, you know, probably should have been done. But a lot of people.
So that's not bad. So what
well, but again, the liberals managed to tar the John Birch Society with bad things, so that if you didn't dare mention, it's like being a communist for God's sakes, only on the other side of the coin,
right?
And
certainly for, you know, like NRA gun rights. And,
oh, yeah,
and
totally. I mean, total gun, you know.
Libertarian ideas.
A lot of libertarian type stuff, yeah.
But you're saying, but some people
but
see
I mean,
it as
to,
extreme.
But patriotic beyond, but to an extreme.
Right.
That is to say, we stand in the flag, and if you even, you know, I would guess, that, for instance, that if you were to burn the flag, you would be not a member of the John Birch Society, for instance, even though
it's... member of the Dead
guessing.
Society.
Yeah, I would imagine that would probably get you society. Kicked out.
I'm clicking around the website here.
JBS. If you look under JBS.org.
Yeah, we got it.
It doesn't...
And it doesn't anymore. No, you have to understand. They have modified their stance considerably since the old days. But you will still be tarred with that. It is a lot like I don't know how else to put it.
Ironically, they on their website too. They chime in on the Obama Hillary thing as well. So
yeah,
is JBS.org?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. JBS.org, and they claim to be totally apolitical and educational only. Well, okay, that's fine. And I watched a couple of the DVDs that Lloyd had over there. And, you know, okay, all well and good. The first one was quite good. It was an educational type thing about what is capitalism, what is what is a republic and the difference between anarchy and oligarchy, socialism, communism, collectivism.
How many people were at this meeting?
There was about 20.
Oh, okay, pretty
I guess,
good.
Which
well, that's
was
not a bad turnout.
No. In fact, as he said, I mean, there were, let me put it this way: there were more people there than fit in his place.
Okay,
wow. So he was surprised about that.
No, that's good.
So anyway,
all right, so Lloyd is not. He's not all,
but he's
going to
run. He's going to run. He's a John Birch Society kind of guy. Wants other people to join up.
He's running as a Republican, right?
He's running as a Republican, and he's one of these guys.
And what's he running for?
He's county commission.
County commission here
and here in Alachua County, and he's going to vote against any tax increase in any.
Well, I like that.
No. Anybody likes that. I mean,
believe it or not.
Well, no. But what I mean is, he is. Absolutely for smaller, really smaller government. He is one of these people that really honestly understands what it means to be a smaller government. Yeah. The problem, of course, is that it's still a government. It's still too big. I mean, even if you vote no on everything, at least here locally, too much.
So we want to get it back down to the king, right? It's good to be
king. No. Right? That's a monarchy. No, not quite. You want to
just
basically,
one or two people.
Well, again, one of the the key in the government is what feeds it. It's the food. The idea is here locally in Florida, for instance, they've had about a $4 billion out of a $70 billion projected budget. They had to cut $4 billion down to $66 billion. First time ever in the history of Florida, the budget's actually decreased. And you'd thought the sky was coming. You know, this is collapsing. The entire universe is collapsing to a singularity and we're all dead.
Right.
It's not quite that bad.
Well, like I said, so getting back,
what you should do is to cut the local government here, which is a $200 million. The county budget is around $200 million. And, you know, if you cut it down to about $40 million, super basics, that might do. The problem, of course, is, as always pointed out.
That's 40 people. You pay $1 million a year.
I'm in.
Yeah.
The problem is that government, because they have the legal access to arms, and because they have legally can kill you, basically, that it always grows. There is not a really super restriction on government growth. So no matter how far down you slice it, eventually it's going to get all big again. Now, not a problem for me personally, if you could like slice it down to, you know, a fifth of what it is today, time I'm dead, it might come back some, but I won't care then.
Well, there you go. And it might be, I mean, big or small is all relative. It depends on how big society is.
That's what I'm just saying, though. That's the percentage of GDP and all that kind of stuff. You have to understand, this country survived. Okay. The country survived on about 5%, on about a 5% tax rate, if you want to call it that, for the first 100 years of this country.
Right.
And it wasn't until they really decided they got the bit in their mouth with the income tax in 1913 in the Federal Reserve Board, where they decided they could print money rather than actually have honest money, that things really started to take off. And you only have to look around. When I was a kid, it was a nickel Coke. Now it's a dollar. I mean, that it shouldn't be. It should still be a nickel. There wouldn't be, and you could still have all the growth. It's just that
shit. It's more than a dollar, Jimmy.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, my point is, in the last 75 or 80 years, the inflation rate has been around 95%. That is, the dollar has depreciated, and it didn't have to.
Okay, so getting back to Lloyd Bates, so he's not just Mr. John Birch. This is
He's actually.
We'd love to see him in office.
Yes, we would prefer to see him as opposed to anybody else.
Right.
Absolutely.
But he will, but it's locally here, even if he does get in, it'd be interesting. I don't think he has a chance because they're going to tar him with the John Birch Society.
He's up against the Trade Federation.
Yeah, but remember,
exactly. He's against the Trade Federation.
But remember, we only have to, you know, we only have to inform, you know, 10,000 people.
Well, it's not only that. He says, you know, once you get the smaller groups, smaller groups, it only takes about 250 or 300 activists in a community. Activists, these are people that actually go out door to door to actually get somebody elected in this county. We have 100,000 in the county. You've got a little over 100,000 people, as I recall, a little over 100,000 people that can vote. And typically somewhere around 10 to 20,000 turn out for this kind of election.
Right.
Even on a presidential election, only about half turn out, 50 or 60,000 turn out. So it turns, and of course you only have to get half of them plus one. So, I mean, I've seen county commissioners, for instance, be elected with 10 or 11,000 people. Out of a, you know, 19 or 20,000 people that show up. And that's only 20%. In other words, if 15 to 20% up, that means somewhere between 8 and 11% will get you elected. And you only need about 250 or 300 people to go door to door to get that right. Get up that number.
All right. So what was this meeting about the other day?
It was mostly about trying to explain a little bit about how the education process worked, about how people needed to be educated about what the Constitution actually says. It was more of a national type thing. His thinking on this particular meeting was to try and get the right kind of people in Congress. Not so much locally here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to that, I mean, I went through it and listened to it all, and I thought, well, unfortunately, because our local guy, Cliff Stearns, is, you know, he's a good old boy. I mean, he's been in for 20 years, and he's gotten, you know, he's part of the system, and he compromises his brains out, and he's as conservative as you can get in this area, because this is a university liberal, you know, like, it's like out there where hangar dogs live, out there in Colorado Springs, which is like, you know, Berkeley, Colorado or something. And Gainesville here is like Berkeley, Florida. I mean, it's, you know, they're lefties all over the place around here. They're just holier than thou, smooth and everything like that.
All right. So for, he's got electlloydbailey.com. We'll put a link to it.
And we also have,
thank you, Jack.
He has to have, I know, I'm so over it. I know I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you know.
anyway, the thing is, no, and I love Lloyd Bailey because he owns a scuba shop. Thank you so much, which is like one of course, Jack Rhodes is in my
favorite. Well, you know, one of the things about Lloyd is Lloyd's not one of these guys that's looking for a job.
No, he's not. He's more laid back than a lot of people. Right. Let me tell you, some of the people that were there are what I call the true believers.
The Kool-Aid drinkers?
Yeah, really. I mean, exactly. Right. And Lloyd's not.
Right.
So that's a good thing. But, right. I, you know, when I was looking around at some of these people that were, cult people almost. That's a little scary. And of course, that's the thing.
If you can get them to go knock on doors, great.
Let me tell you something. That's one of the problems the Libertarian Party has always had. Is because there have been some people that have been perceived
people
as
like,
whack jobs.
Like Apple IIe's or some bullshit.
Hello. An Apple IIe happens to be a marvelous machine, and I'll not hear a nasty word about it.
Blasphemous slander.
You blaspheme. You anti-Christ. You spawn of Satan. I can't believe you would say a nasty thing about
it. It's all making sense to me now. It's all becoming clear. The thing is that the deadline to qualify petition for him is May 19th.
That's the other thing. He here locally, you have to pony up around $4,000 or $5,000 if you pay.
You have to get
2,000 signatures or something.
$1,500,
whatever right. it is.
He only has 10 days left to get all these?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, how many does he have right now?
I don't have a clue. I don't think he's close. I think that's a bit of a problem. And the other thing was, of course, I thought it was interesting. He went down to you told me, Jack, that he went down there to the
Spring Arts Festival,
and they kicked him off the street.
That was in an email you read, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they wouldn't let him. They said they have a Spring Arts Festival here run by the city of Gainesville.
Well, that's actually, I think it's run by Santa Fe Community College.
But it's
on a city street.
Okay, right.
It's on a city street. They basically close off the street, major street.
It's in conjunction with the City of Gainesville Department of Cultural Affairs. I know that. So.
And it's a Spring Arts Festival. It's a big deal. People come from literally all over the United States.
So he got several volunteers to go down there and get people to sign this petition, but they barred him from doing that, would not let him walk the city streets, said that they had been rented.
Yeah, the streets had been rented out. What I don't understand is why he didn't go down to Salter's place or someplace like that and just sit on the private lawn.
Down at the end or something.
But all those places on either side of Third Street are all privately owned. He could have gone on private property.
Well, obviously he wasn't trying to, you know, they weren't going to let him do it. But whatever.
So
he's trying. We had that link. There was a link to the...
Well, there's another fellow running here.
On our
another
website.
Fellow's going to run also for county commission, too, is Ward Scott. And he's also conservative.
Right.
But he's not going to be tarred with the John Birch Society, I don't think, as much as Lloyd is. And I have to say, in the old days, you knew who a person was. It was like, I don't know, being kind of... In the early states' rights days, for instance, where you're totally, for the...
Like Andy Griffith.
Well, not quite, but it
Hi,
was
Andy.
The, you know, if you were a, Curtis, what was the law, the Jim Crow laws, you know, for years were, what was it, Plessy versus Ferguson was the thing that kept the blacks separated in the South for many years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you were a fan of that, you know, you got elected. Well, then after a while, it turned out you got tarred by that after 1964.
Well, this is going to be one of the first time in years that we've even had a Republican choice here in Alachua County.
Well, a real Republican, because, you know, because Paula, of course, was always a Democrat, and she finally admitted and finally fessed up and switched.
Mm-hmm.
She was, but that was, but so anyway, she's still down there, too. God love her. Anything else? Anything else? Of course, they have here another thing I was noticing, and I wrote somebody a letter about this. Excuse me. They set up a sting operation here locally. I don't know if you know this, but we have a law here in Florida that says if you go past an emergency vehicle that's parked on the side of the street, either it's an ambulance or a police car.
Yeah, you have to move over.
You have to move over, number one.
Into the other lane.
If it's a multiple-lane road, you have to move over. Or if it's not, you have to slow down to 20 miles an hour below the speed limit. Right. So what they did is here locally, and they announced it. They said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out on this lonely road out there, and we're going to set up a emergency vehicle.
Yeah.
And anybody that comes by is going to get a ticket. So they
not even a real emergency vehicle?
No. They announced it. They announced it the day ahead of time. They said, we're going to go out here on one of these roads. We haven't decided exactly where yet.
But we need a revenue enhancer.
But no, they didn't say that.
Oh.
So they basically, then the next day in the paper, they found that they had stopped or given tickets to 230 people in an 8-hour stretch. The ticket is $93.50. They had also warned 93 people. And I guess maybe they were only doing, 10 miles under or 15 miles under the speed limit or
the
something.
The hot babes.
The hot babes, right. There was 93 hot babes that came by. They didn't get a ticket. But if you were a crotchety old, if you were Jimmy, for instance, it was two tickets.
Two tickets.
So anyway, one for each passenger.
And one for the headlights.
That's right. And your taillight is out. No, it didn't. Yes, it is. Clink. Okay. So anyway, I wrote a letter in on the website here, and I said, it's about the money. It's like this damn red light thing we talked about.
They
went out and got over $20,000. In 8 hours for a non-emergency, and I said it's a sting operation. It was about the money. Not one person that wrote back to me on the internet on the website there agreed with me. They all said, "Oh no, it's a reasonable law. You need to slow down." So I wrote and I said, what they should do is to set up in a school zone, in a 20-mile-an-hour school zone, and that way anybody that comes through gets a ticket. I mean, if you're driving, .001 mile, you're exceeding the
fines double.
And of course, they're
double
also.
And have workers present.
And have workers present.
Workers present
in the school zone during at an emergency vehicle. And of course, when you do the math, especially some of the school zones here are 15 miles an hour.
Right.
That means you have to go backwards through the school zone at 5 miles an hour
in order
to be obeying the law.
Right.
And of course, if you go over that speed limit, then it's worth workers present. That means for doing that, within a blast radius of this thing, you are looking at a $500 ticket.
Right.
And I don't know why they don't do that. So anyway, I said something to that effect on the website thing there, on the comments, and they took me seriously. They said, well, no, that doesn't make sense or something like that. You shouldn't be going through the school zone. I'm going like, Jesus.
Duh.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Don't you get, obviously these people don't get a joke, but they all thought, everybody that wrote in said it was a reasonable law, and they gave the old thing, nobody ever said if you don't like the law, well, one person said you need to go to Tallahassee if you got a problem with it, and of course that's somewhat true, but everybody said it was a reasonable law, it was to save lives. Policemen are being smashed all over the road all the time. The roads are just
smashed.
No, they're coated down with the police uniforms as people drive by. And just every day, according to this one person that wrote in, people are aiming for them, I guess, And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Certainly in Police Academy 101, other than the one that's on TV, certainly the first thing they say is if you're going to pull somebody over on I-75, you pull like over into the next county.
Right.
I mean, don't get out of your car, on that side of the road, whatever it is. I mean, certainly they will learn. It's like when you go. And the way I look at it is, if you're going to go after a criminal.
Yeah, when I drove up here, the streets were littered with bodies.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to go after a criminal, what you do is you actually don't. If you're going to shoot at them, you go behind a tree. You don't stand out in the open and shoot because they tend to shoot back. No, they teach you in academy, you hide, crouch down, hide behind something. Same thing, get out of your car. You don't get out in the middle of I-75. You actually kind of get off to the side someplace. So anyway,
You shoot from your
open
sitting
fire,
from your
baby.
Seat.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that I said this was a total sting operation, and if they really wanted to get these people, what they should do is when they stop somebody for a violation, say on I-75, get 20 cops, then get them out there,
right.
and that's because that is a real emergency, and the people are actually disobeying the law,
and beat them to the full extent of the law.
That's right. So anyway, but it was interesting to see how everybody that wrote in said, no, you are an idiot. It wasn't a sting operation. It's a reasonable law, and the thing that I love about them is they always say that if you won't get a ticket if you obey the law. If you obey the law, you won't get in trouble. And I'm thinking, there's a lot of laws that are illegal, number one, and the only way to find out if they're illegal is to disobey them, and then you go to court. And the judge throws it out. And
speed limits are arbitrary.
This 20 miles an hour is arbitrary. That's what I was trying to point out about the school zone. The simple fact is the reason they did it was 20 miles an hour is because it's on I-75, the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and they're figuring if you slow down to 50. And of course, what I want to do is to point to the police officer's life who was saved by this law.
I was going
to
say 50. Yeah, that only takes a leg off.
Let me tell you, I'm telling you, you get hit by a car at 20, it's going to wound
you. You're gone.
It's going to hurt
so fast.
There's going to be blood everywhere. So my point is that here we are, in especially all over town, the speed limit is anywhere from 25 to 35 miles an hour. So you slow down to 5 to 15 or 20 miles an hour to go past these places. I mean, it is 20 miles an hour is arbitrary. It seems to me that
I think that one of the things they should learn and probably do learn in a police academy is how to dodge a car.
I'm sure. No. I mean, look, seriously, you have got to be a stupid policeman to get hit by one, unless the guy's aiming for you.
They got the dodge simulator.
You got to jump
to the left. Ready? Go.
Kids can cross the street.
Excuse me.
What?
Isn't this mens rea?
Mens rea?
Mens rea.
What?
Wait, isn't it a deal where, in other words, if the crime is when you hit the policeman, not sailing by the guy at the speed limit.
Well,
what is that called what we want people to do is to be arrested for the crime, not for the thought crime, not for the possibility of the crime.
I'm not sure how you're getting that out of this. I mean, are you saying that the person's prosecuted for when they hit the police officer?
That's a crime.
Right, definitely.
So my point is that the business about slowing down 20 miles an hour below is a law that is because maybe something will go wrong. Now, there's no crime committed yet. That is to say, they've made it a crime. They made up a crime.
Right. But you're right. It hooks them into the death of the policeman. That is, they were breaking this law by going more than 20 miles an hour
slowing down. Yeah, right. And so my point is that the crime is, before this law was available, that is to say, before they had this law, it was a crime to hit a policeman.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not supposed to do that. And you get, it was a crime actually to hit anybody. I mean, I don't care if policeman or not. You weave off the road and you kill somebody. That's
20 points.
That's some kind of homicide.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, well, policeman Bob got killed by a guy who was roaring past on I-75 at the speed limit. And so we're going to pass a law to stop this. And we're going to pass a law that says if you pass an emergency vehicle, you have to slow down to 20 miles an hour below the speed limit. And or if it's on a single lane road, you have to pull over.
That's not going
to
stop it. Look, but Bob the policeman was he just gets a Darwin Award. I mean, I'm sorry.
Right. Exactly. No, I agree with you. So my point is my point on writing this was the way they get their money here locally, and they're trying to do it with the red light thing we talked about before, and that is they pass a law that makes a criminal offense, a fine offense, a ticket offense, a take your license away offense, whatever you want to call it. Mostly it's about the money, on something that might happen. That is, you might have an accident at this intersection if you run a red light. You might hit a cop if you go by
at
70 miles an hour. So we're going to make it illegal for you
crime
to do those
probability.
Things. Ahead of, yeah, there's, and the probability is like zero in Nunsky.
Right.
I mean, it literally is so low, you cannot imagine. You can't imagine as I've.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you're watching out for when you're driving is people.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't want to hit one of them.
And let me put it this way. And not only that, it hurts your car.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Remember, they just came out with the Honda Accord or the Honda Civic that has a softer hood. So if you happen to hit a person, it's a little more delicate on it.
Oh, shit.
It bounces off a little.
Yeah.
Don't make me choose.
So my point is, though, that I look at this as an absolute outrage that they would pass this law. And to me, it's obviously and only about the money. Bad enough that the law exists, but then to use this as revenue enhancement.
I wish, Jimmy, it was only about the money. But the truth is that this law was passed the way the rest of the traffic laws was passed, which was that we're going to help society out by limiting, quote, the edges of dangerous behavior, sort of. Like the extremes at the edges. It's ridiculous. The way they're trying to create a safe society by punishing the people at the edges. And those people still have a fabulous impetus not to hit anybody, which is...
I would think that it's like being the pilot of an airplane. I mean, you have an incentive not to crash the plane.
Exactly.
If you're a cop, you have an incentive not to get out on the wrong side of the car and stand out in the middle of the
road.
You have an incentive to dodge anybody heading your way.
Totally.
And I'll tell you, it seems to me that the only time I would guess... That the only time that a cop, you know, gets nailed in something like this, which has got to be rare. I don't care who you are.
It's actually not that rare. It is actually
not
that rare.
What do you mean not? Compared to what?
Cops, well, I mean, it's 10 or 12 a year.
Okay, but out of a million
nationwide.
Stops? Right. Well, again, it's all relative.
I was going to say, so it is rare.
Yeah.
Compared to the number of stops, it's like infinitesimal. Number one, that's true. And number two, I would guess that they're going to happen anyway. I mean, they've got to be somebody who's asleep at the wheel.
Drunk,
you know, on some kind of thing or whatever. I mean, it would be
a blow job.
Well, exactly. Right. You know, somebody who is distracted because again, they don't want to hit the police. They don't want to hit any car, much less a policeman for God's sake.
No question about it.
So my point is that how many does this act point to the ones that it stops?
Well, it doesn't. And I agree with you, Jimmy. The fact is that your impetus to not hit somebody and to not get hit is
pretty
great.
Strong.
Yeah, and it doesn't get much stronger by having a fine hanging out over your head.
I don't think it does.
You know,
I mean, I just
a $70 fine.
$93.50, thank you so much.
Yeah, or $93.50, whatever it was. Still, that doesn't make up a big difference between...
I wanted to point to the policeman who was saved by somebody who said, you know, I think I'll slow down here.
He needs to email us in. Huh? If that policeman is out there, email us.
Yeah. My life was saved because I saw somebody, and I stopped the guy afterwards, and I said, why did you slow down? He says, because I was afraid I might get a ticket.
Right.
Not because I was afraid I could hit you, but because I was afraid I was going to get a ticket.
He's probably a Jimmy Doan listener.
Yeah.
No, keep those emails coming. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Come back. We got lots to talk about on the Jimmy Doan Show.
There's a little yes in
the craziest freaking podcast around.
It's not a broadcast.
I said podcast, but I kind of fucked it up. But.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Podcast. Now we're explicit. Thank you so much.
Explicit Jimmy Doan. The best freaking podcast around. That's what I meant to say.
sides are